Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Helen, I'm glad you called. I won't be able to make it tonight, Angel. Seems my client is having trouble with his competitors, and he wants me to give him the business.
The Mutual Broadcasting System takes pleasure in bringing you the new transcribed Adventures of the Falcon, starring George Petrie as Mike Waring. In just a moment, the Adventures of the Falcon. But first, now hear a Mutual Minute. One man's mystery may be another's poison, but on Mutual you can find mystery throughout the week to please any taste. If factual police action drama is your pleasure, then you'll want to tune in every week for Under Arrest and Crime Fighters. On Under Arrest, Police Captain James T. Scott pursues a twisted path of criminal activity to its inevitable conclusion. A man under arrest. Crime Fighters is a program that emphasizes the equal importance of all who wage war against the enemies of society. For people whose taste in mystery fare is for the unusual, the strange, and the eerie, there's Nightmare. Here every week you can hear the master of chills, Peter Lorre, narrate a tale of taut suspense. And for the intrigue and delight of breathless excitement in high places across the world, screen star George Sanders brings High Adventure. Don't forget, it's Mutual for mystery. All kinds of mystery throughout the week over most of these stations. And now we invite you to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon as Mike Waring solves the case of the Snappy Snapshot.
There's one thing you learn working as a private detective. Persistence always pays off. As a case in point, I give you the two gentlemen driving along the Bowery. They are the Kemp brothers, Walter and George. They run a private detective agency in town. You'd never guess to look at them. They're a couple of philanthropists, but no relief organization ever looked harder to find a worthy object of their charity than the Kemp boys.
Slow down, George.
See something, Walter?
Yeah. How about that bum standing near the pawn shop?
Kind of old, ain't he?
What difference does it make? Stop the car. Hey, Pop. Hey, Pop, come over here, will you?
You want me, mister?
Yeah. How would you like to make yourself $5?
I ain't looking for work.
Offer 10, Walter.
Yeah, what I'll do, pal. You come with us and I'll double it.
What would I have to do?
Oh, nothing hard. We'll explain it to you later.
No, I'm not interested. You better get somebody else.
Oh, you old bum.
You hit me a close shot.
All right, let us go, Willis.
All right, beat it. Come on before I poke you under. All right, George.
Now, wait a minute, Willis. How about that character over there?
What character?
Sleeping in the hallway. You see him?
Yeah. Better cut your motor.
Okay, let's go.
Keep your eyes peeled for the cops. Hey, buddy. Buddy.
Let me go, will you?
Don't you mind? Get up off that floor.
I ain't doing nothing, mister. I'm just trying to grab a little snooze.
I have to find some other place.
Okay.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm just thinking maybe my brother and I could use you. How would you like a nice steady job with easy hours and all expenses on a house?
Why picked on me?
Because you look like the kind of a man we want. What's your name?
Paul Ziegler.
Oh, glad to meet you, Paul. My name is Walter Kemp. This is my brother, George.
Yeah, hi. Hurry up, Walter.
Look, Paul, you got any family?
No.
Where you from?
Philadelphia.
Got any friends in town?
No.
Oh, that's swell. I suppose you come along with us.
Uh-uh.
What's the matter?
I changed my mind.
Come on, Walter. How much time are you going to waste with this schmo? You think he'd be right for the job?
Yeah.
And what are you schmoozing for? What are you waiting for, Walter? I dropped him. You pick him up. Stubborn too, Willa.
Okay, George, you better beat it.
What for?
You don't think he'll want to play ball if he sees you here, especially after the way you socked him.
All right, I'll meet you at the house.
Oh.
Don't wait up. I may be late.
Oh.
Hello, Paul.
Huh?
How do you feel?
Who the devil are you?
Walter Kemp, you remember.
You're the one who slugged me?
Nah, that was my brother.
Where is he?
Now, take it easy. George is a little hot-headed.
Yeah, well, nobody's pushing me around.
I didn't mean to. He just lost his temper. After all, he offered you a job for 60 a week.
60 a week?
That's right.
For how long?
As long as you want it. Maybe after the first month, there might even be a little raise.
What would I have to do?
Practically nothing. You see, my brother and I run a little detective agency. We specialize in divorce cases.
What do you mean?
Well, suppose you were married to some dame you didn't like. We furnish the evidence that she's seeing some other guy in the side.
And what if she ain't?
Then we manufacture it.
I don't get you.
Look, we got a case in the office right now. That's what we wanted you for. My client is married to a gal named Phyllis Howard.
Phyllis Howard?
That's right. And just because my client's got a couple of bucks, she won't let him go. So we're going to fix it, so she's got no choice in the matter.
How?
Well, tomorrow morning around 6 o'clock, we'll get you into her apartment through a window. Her husband will be waiting on a fire escape with a camera. Now, all you got to do is put your arms around her while he takes a picture.
And I get 60 bucks for the job?
That's right.
Ain't enough. I want 100.
Drive an awful tough bargain.
No, you heard me. You ain't dealing with some chump, you know. I want 100 bucks or it's no deal.
Well, since it's all set up for tomorrow, okay.
Now, wait a minute. That ain't all. I ain't going to this Phyllis's apartment in these clothes.
Don't worry about it, Paul. As long as I know we can count on you, we'll have you dressed to kill. Now, what could be fairer than that?
Who's there?
It's only me, baby.
What are you doing in here?
Came up to see you. Wasn't that nice of me?
Get out.
Ah, now you don't really mean that, Phyllis.
Who told you my name?
One of your admirers. Now, you know something? I can't see why he'd want to get rid of a good-looking babe like you.
Look, if you want money...
Just hold it, sweetheart. I'll get it. Little Paulie wouldn't think of troubling you. You just stay right where you are. What's in his box here?
My jewelry.
Is it insured?
Yes.
Oh, then you won't mind if I help myself, huh?
Will you please get out?
Sure. Oh, I almost forgot. There was something else I came for. Come here, baby. All I want is one kiss.
Let go!
Now, don't fight, old Paul, honey. This ain't gonna hurt a bit.
Let go!
Come on, Phyllis, give. Who knows? You may even get to like it.
Don't let go of me. I'll... Mister. No. No!
In a moment, we'll return to the adventures of the Falcon. But first, if you're a baseball fan, this is for you. The whole fascinating story of the sport. The first professional game ever played. The team that scored 106 runs in one game. Colorful facts about Babe Ruth, the player who was fined $50 for hitting a home run. All this and much, much more in the Mutual Baseball Almanac, a hardcover book in full library size that sells for $3 in the deluxe edition wherever books are sold. The special radio edition can be yours for just $1. All you have to do is send your dollar to Baseball, Box 144, New York 46. Here is a 256-page book crammed full of all the facts and figures you need to win any baseball argument. And there are special articles by some of the biggest stars in baseball, Campanella, Pearsall, Dobie, Rizzuto, Musial, and many others. Send for your copy of the Mutual Baseball Almanac now. Just $1 to Baseball, Box 144, New York 46. Your money back if this book is not all I say. That's Baseball, Box 144, New York 46. Now back to the adventures of the Falcon. Three hours later, I was awakened from a beautiful dream by the doorbell. It was a pity to break it up. I was having such a wonderful time. I tried to find my place again, but whoever was leaning on the bell refused to get discouraged, so I tossed on a robe and staggered to the door.
Mr. Waring.
Well?
Are you Mike Waring?
I'm never quite sure in the middle of the night.
My name is Phyllis Howard.
I don't care if... Did you say Phyllis Howard?
That's right.
Now, come in. How come they let you wander around loose?
What do you mean?
Aren't you the gal whose uncle was T.J. Howard?
Yes.
And didn't I read in the papers that when his will was probated last month, he left you a cool $10 million?
It was only one.
Well, whenever I read figures containing more than three zeros, I get astigmatism.
What's bothering you that $1 million can't fix?
Murder.
Murder?
Yes, there's a dead man in my apartment.
How'd he get there?
I think he came off the fire escape.
And he was alive when he walked in?
Yes.
Who is he?
He called himself Paul.
Paul, huh? What about his last name?
I don't know.
Did he try to walk off with any of your property?
My purse and my jewel box.
Okay, then we'll claim self-defense.
Self-defense?
Yes. What'd you do with the gun?
Well, I didn't kill him.
And who did?
I don't know.
Now, look, Miss Howard.
I tell you, I didn't. He tried to kiss me, and while we were struggling, there was a shot.
From his gun?
I guess so.
Anybody hear it?
Well, apparently not.
What happened after that?
I must have fainted when I came to. I decided I'd better call on you.
What made you pick on me?
Well, I heard someone mention your name.
Who?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure of anything, are you, Phyllis? You positive this Paul character is dead?
He didn't move.
That doesn't prove anything. Did you listen for his heartbeat?
Well, no.
And suppose we go over to your place and try it. I got a wonderful ear for that sort of thing.
Must you move him like that?
Must if I want to listen to his heartbeat.
Well?
You were right the first time, Phyllis. We could have saved ourselves a trip. Now, this is gun?
Yes.
Where's yours?
Well, I told you I don't have any.
Well, friend Paul certainly wasn't killed with this thing.
He wasn't?
Not unless he was hit by a gumdrop. This is a kid's toy pistol.
Well, I don't understand.
Now, look, Phyllis, if you want me to work for you, you'll have to trust me. Now, what was this man to you?
I told you I never before saw him in my life. I thought he was a burglar.
Where's your purse and jewel box?
Well, he put them under his coat.
No, they're not here now. Where did you generally keep them?
In my night table.
That one?
Yes. What? How did they get back in there?
That's what a jury will want to know if we claim he tried to rob you.
You've got to believe me, Mr. Waring. I've told you the truth.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
Open that closet.
What are you going to do?
Get him out of sight.
Oh, can I help?
You better answer that.
All right. Just a second, I'm coming. Who is it? Well, please slip it under the door, will you?
What is it, Phyllis?
The doorman said someone left this envelope at the desk for me.
Oh, let's see it.
Why, they're pictures.
And what pictures? They're all of you, Angel. Not very flattering, are they?
No.
Well, don't feel too badly. You couldn't expect to look your best slumped over Paul's body.
What does it mean?
Blackmail.
Blackmail?
Well, these aren't the kind of snaps you'd send out for publicity purposes.
Well, shouldn't there be a note with them?
Not necessarily. Whoever is running this racket could always get in touch with them. Yeah, that's one way to do it. You better let me.
Hello? I'd like to speak to Miss Phyllis Howard, please.
Who's calling?
Carlos Dario.
Just a second. You know anyone named Carlos Dario?
No.
She can't come to the phone, Dario. You want me to leave a message?
Who are you?
A very close friend of the family.
You know about...
The pictures? Yeah.
Well, I'm staying at Hotel Wainwright. Tell her to come up and see me.
What's in it for her?
Don't worry, mister. I see Miss Howard don't make trip for nothing. You know what I mean?
That you, George?
Well, it ain't Sergeant Friday. Get out of my way.
Well, what's up?
I gotta call our client. Do you mind?
Well, you know he left strict instructions you were to shadow the Howard thing.
Well, she just left for Dario's apartment.
So what?
So she wasn't alone. She had an escort, a fella named Mike Waring.
What'd you kid?
Oh, don't be a jerk.
You think she hired Waring?
Now, what does it sound like to you?
But she wasn't supposed to. He told me a girl in her position would pay right off. Told me there wouldn't be any trouble.
Now, what did you want? Guarantees?
You gotta do something, George.
If you let go of my coat, I will. Now, let me have that phone.
No, I don't mean calling a client. We got to get out of here.
Will you shut up?
I told you I didn't like the idea in the first place. Remember,
and I said shut up. Now, hand me that phone.
Yes.
You, Carlos Dario.
That is right.
I'm Mike Waring. This is Miss Howard.
Waring, why'd she bring you along?
Well, you see,
Don't blame her, Dario. It was all my idea.
Oh, it was, huh?
Yes. Now, suppose we get down to business.
That suits me fine.
Then suppose we swap. The negative's for cash. I believe that's the customary arrangement.
Yes, but first I got a little bonus for you.
You no good, company.
Stop it, Mike, please.
Let go, my arm. Let go.
Will you behave?
Let go.
You can't.
But you want to watch that temper. Now, where were we?
I got what you want in this envelope.
Mind if I open it? I'd like to see what I'm buying.
Why, it's full of $1,000 bills.
You're surprised, huh?
Quite a bit. What's the idea, Dario?
That's your price, isn't it?
My price?
So help me, Waring. If you and this girl ever try to hold me up again, I'll kill you. Now give me those
negatives. Wait a minute, Dario.
Do I get them or do I have to take you apart?
For pity's sake, will you shut up and let me get this thing straight? How much money is in here?
$20,000.
And in exchange for it, you expect us to turn over some negatives to you?
That is right.
By any chance, were those pictures of you near a body?
Yes. I don't know how you work it, Waring, but I never see that man before, and I didn't kill him.
Yeah. Shake, sucker. We're on your side.
My side?
Yeah. Phyllis, where's your art collection?
Here.
Do those prints look familiar to you, Dario?
Sure. They're pictures of me, taken last week.
Now, don't let those slacks fool you. It's Miss Howard.
What?
You two are victims of the same racket.
Don't talk like a fool.
It's the only way it makes sense.
Then how come Miss Howard called me yesterday and said to have $20,000 ready?
I didn't.
The lady on telephone gave your name.
She was lying.
Don't you see, Dario, whoever called you was working for the blackmailer.
It don't add up so good to me.
Look, it's not difficult. What the killer is doing here is dividing the risk. He wants money from you and Miss Howard. All right. There's less chance of his being caught and collecting from one person than from two.
Who's this he you talk about?
Whoever is behind this little stunt. He'll probably get in touch with my client next and ask her to match your 20 grand.
In other words, I'm to be the collection agent.
That's it.
I don't know why, Waring, but I believe you.
Thanks.
You keep my money and do what you think best.
Fair enough.
But remember, I can't afford no mistakes. These pictures can make plenty of trouble.
No, they can't.
What do you mean?
Take a good look at this one of Miss Howard slumped over the body. Now, you can recognize Miss Howard, all right, but you can't make out the face on the corpse.
So?
So, instead of a body, it could have been a wax dummy.
But it was not.
We know that, but we don't have to admit it. And the only way the blackmailer can prove us liars is to produce the body.
I see what you mean. You going to get rid of him?
That's right.
But how?
Leave it to me, Phyllis. I think I know the boy to handle it. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Care for another drink, Sergeant?
No, thanks.
Phyllis?
No, thanks.
All right. Now, what do you want?
A slight favor.
And what do you call slight?
Now, remember, Sergeant, this is off the record.
Go on.
There's a body in Miss Howard's apartment.
There's a what?
You heard me.
Now, look, Mike, I don't like these kind of jokes.
It's the truth.
How did it get there?
I haven't time to go into that now.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Waring. I wouldn't want to do anything to interfere with your schedule.
Never mind the sarcasm. Could you have the body removed and kept out of sight for a little while?
Yeah, and maybe I could do the same for Miss Howard.
Listen, you idiot, if she killed him, would I call you?
Well, how do I know what a screwball like you might do?
I can see this was a big mistake.
And you're not kidding. Now let's see that body.
You've got to believe me, Sergeant. I didn't kill him.
We'll let the DA decide that. Come on now, open up that door. Now, where is he?
In the bedroom closet.
All right, Miss Howard. Lead the way.
Now, for the last time, I'm asking you, Sergeant.
The answer is still no.
He's in there. Oh, Mike.
Steady, baby. You want some help, Corbett?
No, you've done more than your share of. Okay, Mike, what's the idea?
What's the matter?
Well, you're a great little clown, aren't you? How would you like a punch in the nose?
What are you talking about?
That ain't no stiff. It's a wax dummy.
What?
All right, kiddo. I give up. What's the joke?
Well,
moment, we'll return to the adventures of the Falcon. But first...
You remember the old nursery rhyme, 30 days have September, April, June, and November? Well, 30 days have something else, too. They have the answer to the question, why are Camels America's most popular cigarette? It's easy to find out for yourself why Camels lead by a record 50.8%. Smoke only Camels for 30 days. Make this pleasant test and then judge them carefully for mildness, for flavor, for more pure pleasure. Then you'll know why Camels lead the second place brand by 50.8%. These latest figures, published in 1954 by Harry M. Wooten, leading tobacco industry authority, show Camels lead is bigger than ever before. There must be a reason for such popularity, and there is. The reason is Camels' blend of costly tobaccos, unmatched in any other cigarette, that gives smokers real mildness, richer flavor, more pure pleasure. Try Camels. See for yourself why, for mildness, for flavor, for more pure pleasure, Camels agree with more smokers than any other cigarette.
Now back to the adventures of the Falcon.
A young fellow named Israeli once wrote, "What we anticipate seldom occurs. What we least expect generally happens." And that best describes my feeling on seeing Sergeant Corbett haul a wax dummy out of Phyllis Howard's closet. And then it took me 25 minutes of fast ad-libbing to get the sergeant out of the apartment.
Did he go, Mike?
Yes, but his feelings were awfully hurt. I don't think he likes me anymore.
What am I going to do?
Not a thing. I'm perfectly happy the way things are. The next move is up to the killer. He's got to get in touch with you if he wants to collect.
But it may be days before... Mike.
You better let me. Hello?
Hello. Is this Mr. Waring?
Who wants to know?
The name is unimportant, sir. I'll answer to anything you choose.
Okay, suppose we call you Prince. I once had a dog by that name.
I think you're annoyed with me.
You blame me? What was the idea of switching a dummy for the stiff?
You didn't approve of my little joke?
I don't see the point.
I was just anticipating your move on behalf of Miss Howard. I put myself in her place.
Did you like it?
Not particularly. She's in a pretty awkward spot.
How much will it cost her to get off?
I'm asking $20,000 for the negatives.
What'll you take?
I don't believe in haggling, sir. You heard my price.
Okay, Prince. It's a deal.
Look, I'll send a boy around for the money. I wouldn't have him followed, Mr. Waring. The consequences would be unpleasant. You'll have the $40,000 ready.
$40,000?
The other $20,000 I refer to as Mr. Dario's contribution.
Who?
Carlos Dario.
Never heard of him.
There must be some mistake. I was informed that Mr. Dario gave the money to you.
Well, your informant gave you a bum steer.
Waring, I always insist on what's coming to me.
And I'd like to see you get it.
I warn you, sir, if this is a childish attempt at fraud, you'll regret it.
Well, Phyllis, that was Prince.
But you told him you didn't receive any money from Dario.
Uh-huh.
What are you up to?
It's perfectly simple, Angel. Any dollar I give that man is money thrown down the sewer. Well, $20,000 is an awful big hunk of change to toss away like that.
But that money doesn't belong to you.
You're looking at it the wrong way, Phyllis. It's bound to cost Dario $20,000 anyway. Now, I'm sure he'd rather it wound up in my pocket than in Prince's.
You don't realize what you're saying. If this Mr. Prince thinks that Dario is holding out on him, there's no telling what he might do. He might even kill him.
You know something, Phyllis? I never thought of that. What do you say we just put it out of our minds?
Hello, Miss Howard.
Mr. Dario.
Where is Waring?
Oh, hiya, Dario. Everything okay?
No. Just what are you trying to pull?
Now, calm down, fella. There's nothing to get excited about.
Where is my money?
You mean that $20,000?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, friend. I haven't got it. I've already paid off the blackmailer.
You're lying.
How would you know that?
I got a call from Prince.
She told me you denied getting any dough from me. You boys are pretty pally, aren't you? He calls you, you call him. Or maybe it's a lot simpler than that.
What do you mean?
You're Prince.
You know what you're saying, Mike.
You're crazy.
Watch it, Dario. You dropped your accent.
The man is out of his mind.
Shave it off, pal. You look better without it.
Listen, Waring.
Sure, I'll listen if you explain how you knew the name I hung on our collar was Prince. You made a mistake there, Dario, but then I can't blame you. Anyone who's as slick as you are is bound to slip now and then. Now, suppose we call the cops.
Mike.
Huh?
I wish you'd explain something to me. When did you first suspect Dario?
Well, when we found the body of Paul gone and that dummy in his place. He should never have moved it. The only ones who knew what I intended to do with the body were you and Dario. And I know you didn't blab.
But why did he give you the money then?
Oh, that was a beautiful piece of work, Angel. You see, Dario doped out this blackmail stunt. And by pretending to be a victim himself, no one was supposed to suspect him. When he gave me that $20,000, he knew he was bound to get it back, plus another 20 of yours.
And this Paul you sent to my apartment?
That was some schnook that Dario's confederates lined up for the occasion.
And Dario wasn't alone in the plot.
No, this took an organization. He had a couple of boys working for him named Walter and George Kemp. They got Paul for him. When Paul climbed into your room last night, Dario was on the fire escape.
And while the two of us were battling,
he shot him. And then when you keeled over in a faint,
he went to work with the camera.
Now you've got it.
Now that I have, what am I supposed to do with it?
Well, you can always tell your children about it some rainy day.
But to have children, I first have to be married.
It's customary. But if you decide against it, promise me one thing. Let me handle the adoption papers. Good night, Angel.
In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's Adventure of the Fulton. But first, now hear a mutual minute. The advent of supersonic flight, atomic energy, or even the most recent discovery of a battery powered directly by the sun has not changed some aspects of our lives, at least. Evening hours are still leisure hours for most, and for most people it means time to enjoy their favorite kind of entertainment. For millions, the programs they hear regularly on Mutual every evening provide just the kind of relaxing, informative, or challenging listening they like best. There are top tales of mystery for the whodunit fans, ranging from fantasy to documentary. And some of the most famous private eyes in the business stalk Mutual's airwaves regularly. News, too, is yours for the tuning, whether you prefer a fast 5-minute news digest or a thoughtful and penetrating commentary. Mutual's core of ace correspondents is at your service. You suit yourself when you hear Mutual's evening lineup of programs, all heard over most of these stations. The Case of the Handy Helpmate. That's the title of next week's Adventure of the Fulton, and Mike Waring learns that what some wives will do for their husbands is murder. The Adventures of the Fulton was presented by the makers of mild, flavorful Camels, America's most popular cigarette, in cooperation with a Mutual network. The Adventures of the Fulton is based on the famous character created by Drexel Drake, produced and transcribed by Bernard L. Schubert, written by Eugene Wang. George Petrie was starred as the Fulton, Chuck Webster as Sergeant Corbett. This program is fictional, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is coincidental. Russ Dunbar speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.